This is Dave Doggett, and you're listening to the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast, Episode 11. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast. And I want to start this one off on a bit of a serious note. I want to dedicate this podcast episode to a very good friend of mine who recently passed away. His name was John Robertson. Extremely close friend of our family. Spent a lot of time fishing with John, both here in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And he had a strong interest in kayaking and learning about it and getting into it. And unfortunately, he and I are not going to get a chance to get out on the water together. We had talked about that. In fact, the last time I had talked to him, we had talked about getting out maybe this coming spring or summer so he could try out one of my kayaks. And sadly, he recently passed away after complications from a heart-related surgery. Surprised everybody with that. But anyway, Johnny, tight lines. This episode is dedicated to you. So kayaking. And if you spend any amount of time on the road, any of our roads in the Maritimes, I think you can agree that there's a steady increase in the amount of kayaks that are strapped to vehicles. And or you might see a vehicle pull over on the side of the road and see a roof rack on it. That's for carrying kayaks. And I'm seeing, you know, even small compact cars carrying two kayaks on the roof sometimes these days. And so I know that there's a trend and it's spiking. And so I knew it was time to start focusing more on kayaking in general, not just kayaking, but, you know, canoeing and paddling as well. But there does seem to be a very strong interest in kayaking as opposed to other water sports. And I think that's really for two reasons, at least for personally. I can explain the reasons that that kayaking appeals to me. One is just the tranquil peacefulness of being in a kayak. And it's very hard to explain unless you've actually gone out on the water in a kayak. But there's something to it. I fell in love with it immediately. It really took me by surprise. And, you know, coming from having a lot of experience with motorboats of all different sizes, and, you know, every time you go from point A to point B, your outboard or some kind of motor is running, to just this smooth gliding across the water. And just the feeling that you're not really interfering with that particular body of water or anything that's happening in there. But, you know, other than a splash of a paddle or, in my case, a pedal, and I'll explain that in a few minutes as well. But so there's just something very peaceful to the actual act of kayaking. And so that's what, you know, I just fell in love with it. And in my particular case, my experiences with sit-on-top kayaks, and we're going to talk a bit about that before I bring my friend Chris Arnold, who's very experienced in all aspects of kayaking and kayak angling. I'm going to bring him on in a few minutes. But my personal experiences with the sit-on-top. So you've got the sit-on-top kayaks where you understandably sit on top and are exposed to the elements. And you've got the sit-in kayaks, which are the ones more like the ocean style where you're from your lower torso down to your toes is sheltered underneath basically the closed-in hull of the kayak itself. So some of the main differences between the two, other than, you know, one you're on top and one you're basically inside, is stability. That's probably the main thing that has been apparent to me is the overall stability. Now, an ocean style is far more, I guess the one of the words we use is tippy or unstable. It's just something that you need to get used to. And obviously, if you're in a boat or an item that is, you know, you feel less in control of, you need to practice that and you need to become comfortable with that. And obviously you need to become aware of, you know, how to right yourself up if in the event that you do tip over. Now, in the case of the sit-on-top kayaks, they're generally extremely stable. In fact, the ones that I have, which are made by Hobie, I've gone out and intentionally tried to tip them and have had a lot of difficulty doing that. Mind you, I do remember one experience at a local beach where the surf had no trouble tipping mine over and landing it on my head. But so sit on top, generally more stable. So for the average person just getting into the sport, that may be more appealing because you can then have, you know, less worry about falling out of the boat and more, you know, concentration on whatever you're doing, whether it's fishing, hunting, or whatever activity, just exploring around. The sit-in kayaks now do have the advantage of speed. Once you master the paddling technique, they are generally faster. They're a sleeker profile going through the water. So you're probably going to be able to get from point A to point B faster in that style. However, again, pros and cons, with a sit on top and some of the models like the ones that I use where it's a Hobie with a Mirage drive and I'm actually using my feet to power the kayak, I then have my hands free for, you know, turning the rudder, holding a fishing rod, you know. And if you were hunting, holding a gun of some kind. So you really need to identify what task you want to accomplish with your kayak most often. And then obviously weigh the options of pricing, which does play into things depending on the brand that you get, the features that the kayak has. And then just really narrow it down for the activity that you plan on using it the most for. So that's kind of a very brief introduction to the types of kayaks. I'm sure Chris will talk about those as well shortly here. Before we get too much further, I would like to do a little shout out for the company, the business where I have got my kayaks from, and that is Atlantic Winds Adventure, and they are in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. They carry a wide variety of kayaks, whether it's sit on top or sit in kayaks, and all kinds of other neat water and air sport items. So you can check them out. Just Google them, and I'll have a link in the show notes. Another thing I want to touch on is, after seeing this trend of kayaking, I decided I was going to create a new online community dedicated to the paddling sports. So it is called maritimekayaking.com, and it's an online discussion board with all kinds of different forums, photo galleries, lots of things, classifieds. So by all means, check that out. And if you're not a member already, it's completely free to join. Go up in the upper right-hand corner and click create an account and follow the directions and we'll get you activated and up and running that way. By all means, share that with all the kayaking friends that you have. And before long, you know, we'll have a bunch of people on there with all sorts of great discussion and content related to kayaking here in the Maritimes. So that's pretty well what I wanted to say as an introduction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my friend Chris Arnold on the line. He's been in kayaking for quite a number of years, longer than I have, and he has experience with the sit-in kayaks as well as the sit-on-top. So let's get Chris on the line and see what he has to say. Yeah, so I've got my buddy Chris Arnold on the line here. Thanks for joining me tonight, Chris.
Not a problem, Dave.
Awesome. So I think when I think kayaking, even not just fishing in kayaks, but kayaking in general, you're pretty well the face that comes to mind. I'm not sure how we, well, actually, I'm pretty sure how our paths crossed. It was obviously through NovaScotiaFishing.com years ago,
Yes.
where kayaking come into play, I remember seeing, your avatar had kayaks in it, and then I didn't really take a strong interest in kayaking until one thing led to another, and I ended up with a couple Hobie kayaks, which are the sit on top. And one of the first thing, well, before I get into that, maybe you can give us just a quick background of how you got involved with kayaking in the first place.
Right, and that's kind of the same thing with me, that it just was one of those things that was really by accident, coming from a canoeing background and fishing with friends in their motor boats. I always thought that human power over horsepower was the way to go, and I really enjoyed the canoeing from a very young age, and then fishing with my friends by a canoe. But it was in probably the summer of 97 that I purchased my first kayak. It was an Ocean Kayak Frenzy, a 9.5 foot sit on top. And it was a friend of my dad's who had moved back from Ontario at the time, had brought everything back with him, really didn't have a use for it. And I got it for a song, really. And that started it because, I was taking it out, I was fishing with it, and I was paddling circles around my friends in their canoes. So one thing led to another, and the next, I bought a used sea kayak, a Boreal Design Muktuk, and it was a 16 and a half foot sea kayak, and kind of rigged it for angling as well. And then another friend bought a sea kayak, and then another friend bought a sea kayak, and then I had a group put together of my fishing friends, and we were all of a sudden the team extreme, all fishing from kayak. But yeah, so it's been a long time. It's been nearly 19 years.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I don't think I knew that you started with a small sit on top,
Yeah.
and then you took the plunge into, an ocean style kayak. And obviously, that's one of the things that I want to touch on tonight. And this is just going to be one of many, episodes that we're going to have covering kayaking, because as we were talking earlier, there's just so many things to discuss. But we'll keep it fairly introductory tonight,
Yeah.
because we're going to assume that most of the people listening probably aren't already kayaking, so they're going to want the very, the general info on, maybe what they should consider and that kind of thing. So obviously, my experience to date, for the 6 or 7 years that I've been doing kayaking or kayak fishing, is all with sit on tops. My first experience years and years ago was with an ocean kayak, and I wasn't very comfortable or stable in it. And when I sat in the sit on tops, I was kind of blown away at how stable they were. And obviously, everything has a plus and minus. So maybe from a guy that has had both,
Yeah.
Maybe give us a little bit of insight on where you see the major pluses and minuses.
Well, major for like a sea kayak is your range. I mean, you can minimal effort for long range paddling, and it's an enclosed style kayak, so you're well protected from the elements. And like I say, your speed is greatly increased for your paddling effort and distance. So and then again, in harsher weather, you're just better protected. They sit on tops, quite the opposite. Being a wider kayak, you're slower, and you're not covering the kind of distance that you would probably in a sea kayak. But then the trade-off is the amount of gear that you can carry on a sit on top. Now there's just no comparison, because if you're a more comprehensive angler and you want to carry numerous rods, different gear, and you can definitely dress for the elements. Of course, there's so many companies that accommodate that. So Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons to both. And as of late, I've been using a sit on top much more than a sea kayak, but it definitely still is in my arsenal. It's still on the rack. And but sit on tops definitely have better features for angling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess when you're considering, doing some kind of activity other than the actual act of paddling, or moving the boat around itself, then yeah, that's when the sit on top can come into play. And obviously there's a stability issue there too, because they are, like
Absolutely.
you said, wider. The brand that I've been using, the Hobie brand, they do have the Mirage Drive system, so that might be appealing to some people, maybe not. It all depends. I guess you just gotta weigh your options as far as, stability, comfort, and obviously budget plays into it as well. So
Absolutely.
from what you've seen, how does budget play into, somebody might be saying, like, I'm assuming that there's a broad range of sit on top models as well as sit-in kayaks, and there must be a very broad range of pricing on both those styles, is there not?
Absolutely. With Hobie, I know that there are some really high-end luxury style kayaks to fish from, and that's quite a premium price that you're going to pay for that. But for any hobby, really, it's what you get is, or you pay for what you get. So
Sure.
there's definitely other brands with different models that you could probably enter kayak angling with a 10-foot sit on top for under $1,000. And that's how some people have to enter because of, budget, their own personal budgets. But something mid-range is a good place to start. I mean, have a budget for the $1,500-$1,600, and you're looking at a good kayak with a rudder. And I always say get a rudder if you don't have like a Hobie with a Mirage Drive that you can kind of steer. Then a kayak with a rudder system is probably very important. I mean, it's been very important to me over the years, in that if you have a tailwind and you're trying to fish a shoreline or any amount of or parts of a lake or whatever you're fishing, then that tailwind can spin you or redirect you, and then you're always compensating with your paddle. But a rudder is definitely going to save you from having to pick up that paddle, and then you can continue to fish. But
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total
yeah,
sense.
absolutely.
So you and like, as far as a kayak, that's going to be well suited for the type of water that you're going to be in, whether you're, in a lake versus a river versus the ocean. I mean,
Right.
are there significant factors to consider between those?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of anglers that fish from whatever boat or whatever they're fishing from, and they're not necessarily paddlers. I mean, there are lots of anglers that aren't necessarily paddlers. So there are kayaks out there that are more for short distance. I mean, if you're really not a paddler, then you don't want to travel kilometers worth of shoreline or paddle across a lake to get to your favorite spot. I mean, there's just people just want to fish, and so there are definitely styles that are more accommodating to that, are more stable, and length versus width can definitely play a role. And again, depends on what you want to carry. If you want to carry an anchor and fish finder over half a dozen rods, how much gear you want to carry will dictate on the size of kayak that you should purchase. And most people start off, most people would start with 3 to 5 rods on board, I would think. Maybe some would start with maybe only 1 or 2 rods. So their style of kayak would probably dictate how they fish. And if you fish as often as you and I do, then something a little, bigger, like my ocean kayak, Trident 15, I've outrigged with numerous mounts and such. And one tournament I was in, in Oromocto in June, I had 11 rods aboard, and that's probably out of the norm for most people.
I don't think I've ever had 11 rods on any boat at any one time. But I believe it paid off for you, did it not?
Well, it did. It was very unfamiliar water, and with 10 hours to fish a multi-species event from mm-hmm. everything from a pumpkin seed, very small fish, yes, to stripers, you know, you just don't know what to expect. There are muskie in that area as well. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, a rod particular to the species, and mm-hmm. that's what we were trying to do throughout that day. And I guess not everything got wet, but I was prepared for everything, and conditions kind of worsened throughout the day. So the fly rods didn't get really much use, and the species count wasn't as high as the winners, but mm-hmm. The actual draw at the end for the anglers for the grand prize, I did win the grand prize, which was another kayak, a Trident 11. So I was pretty proud of that. Driving round trip was 1,000 kilometers, uh-huh. and I did that. I showed up on a Friday morning and left on a Saturday night. So it was, you know, quite a whirlwind tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but well worth it. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Actually, I've been trying to be able to get to that event the last few years, and who knows, maybe next year will be the year. But somebody's got to try to take you down.
Absolutely.
But we might as well put a little plug in for that event. What's the name of it?
That's the New Brunswick Paddlers competition. Mm-hmm. And it's possible they may not be holding it next year. Actually read a post earlier today mm-hmm. regarding that event, and the Hammond River Classic event mm-hmm. May not be happening next year, and that's just really due to turnout. The numbers are low, and they expect a lot more local anglers, mm-hmm. and the numbers have been just low in the last 4 years that they've been holding both events. So how to change that, and they're not sure how to change that. But
interesting.
It's very interesting, and I know that Nova Scotia needs more events, mm-hmm. but in all honesty, you're looking at probably the same dozen guys showing up to all these events, and it's hard to get new people involved. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Though, you know, if you're on a lake like Aylesford Lake, you notice kayaks in a lot of people's yards and such, mm-hmm, like along lakes, mm-hmm. and to get them involved too, it's how do you get just the everyday, you know, weekend angler to come out and participate in these events?
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully we'll be able to change that over time, and that's at least part of my intent with the new maritimekayaking.com site, is to create more awareness, create basically a community, a sense of community for any kayaking enthusiast, and then maybe the odd one will also have an interest in taking part in an event like a fishing tournament or something like that. Absolutely. With their kayak. So, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. And, I'll touch base with the event organizers, and obviously we'll get them, you know, promoting it best they can on an array of websites. But, fairly quickly before we go, on this particular chat, if somebody wants to find out more about you, Chris, and I know you've done quite a bit of videos of your adventures on the water and that kind of thing, is there one central place people should look to find you, or I can put anything in the show notes that you want?
Right now the YouTube channel, all one word, The Team Extreme, and that's where I post all of our videos. Mm-hmm. And to find me in particular, look, I have my handle on Nova Scotia Fishing and New Brunswick Fishing and Maritime Kayaking is Always Fishing or Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a particular website set up yet, but that is something I'm definitely going to have to put together.
Sure. No problem at all. What I'll do in the show notes
there's Facebook as well.
Yeah, there's Facebook. But I'll put some links in the show notes where people can, you know, if you want to get a hold of Chris, you can see what he's up to. And we can go from there. But I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me a bit this evening. And
that's great. I look forward to our future podcasts, just so, you know, when people have questions regarding a particular species. And that's usually what people ask me about, mm-hmm. you know, is, you know, how familiar am I fishing for bass and, you know, in a particular time of year mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. for chain pickerel or whatever, what am I using? How do I do it? And, you know, especially from a kayak, which seems to, you know, interest a lot of people. It's just getting them out there and participating.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So awesome. Thanks again, Chris. And tight lines as always.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks again to Chris for taking some time to chat with us. I look forward to having Chris as well as some other buddies that we have. And I've actually met a lot of them through Chris because of his tight knit circle of basically hardcore kayaking and kayak anglers. I'm going to get some of them to join us on future episodes as well so that we can get a wide variety of input on, you know, various aspects of kayaking. And, you know, some of the things that we didn't really touch on in this episode that we will on future ones is, you know, specific kayak safety, you know, things and items you should have with you when it comes to kayaking so that you can ensure that you come home to enjoy the next adventure. As well, we're going to feature various bodies of water in the Maritime Provinces that that people have experienced kayaking on. You know, I mean, we've got so many different incredible bodies of water, both fresh, salt, brackish, you know, kayaking the rivers that we have, and, you know, just general things specific to the waters that we do have here in the Maritimes and how kayaking applies to those. And hopefully, as time goes on, both through these episodes as well as the community that we're in the process of building with maritimekayaking.com, we'll be able to organize events where, you know, groups of us kayaking people and enthusiasts get together in various parts of the Maritimes. I know there's already some events, like Chris was talking about, there was a few events in New Brunswick, and unfortunately, due to low participation rates, those events are in limbo for the next year. But hopefully we can, you know, gather people together, create more awareness for this sport, and get some groups of people together at events such as those or different ones, and just, you know, promote this incredible sport that goes so well with the amount of water that we have here in the Maritime Provinces. And just, it's just a fantastic way to get out and enjoy the outdoors here in the Maritimes. There's no question about that. I think you're going to hear a lot more about kayaking in the future. I know you will in future episodes that we have here on the Maritime Outdoorsman, but keep your eyes and ears open. I'm sure you'll see it popping up here and there in other media outlets. So that essentially wraps up this episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman. Again, if you want to look at the show notes for this episode, all you need to do is go to www.maritimeoutdoorsman.com/011 for episode 11. And actually, if you go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com, it will be the most recent episode at the top is always, well, the most recent one is always appearing at the top. So you can just scroll down and find the one that you're looking for on the website there. You can also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And more recently, I'm proud to announce that Reno Viola's online radio network has recently picked up the show. So you can find a link for that in our subscribe area of the site as well. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great day, and until the next episode, tight lines.